Assisi. I love your rolling fields, your flowers and silver streams.
Francis had a dream, but he wasn't a dreamer. He was a romantic, but he was also very, very concrete.
He was very concrete and very literal. He would hear the words of the gospel and he would go and live them. When he heard the gospel read on the feast of St. Matthias in 1208, February the 24th, he asked the priest what this meant, that you're not to take anything for your journey, neither a staff or a knapsack, or not even to wear sandals. And when the priest explained it to him, we don't know what the priest said to him, but he said, "This is what I want. This is what I want with all of my heart." He wanted to live that gospel counsel, to be poor and to be on a journey his whole life, that he would be a pilgrim. The itinerant life was really the journey that eventuated from Francis's own journey, that he was always on the road.
It was 1206. Francis was a young man searching for his way through the darkness of uncertainty. He knelt in the dilapidated church of San Damiano, praying before the ancient crucifix. Suddenly, as his biographer Thomas of Celano tells us, the figure on the crucifix spoke to him, "Repair my church, which, as you see, is falling into ruins." Francis was stunned with amazement, but he also misunderstood the instructions Jesus gave him. "Repair my church." Francis took this literally and began to rebuild the broken-down church of San Damiano.
As though a dream had kissed adieu and flown in wonder deep, I still beheld the light of day its path, as dusty streamer pierced the gloom of lacy spider curtains hung in passing years at glassy panes. As prey to sighing breeze and gales that sobbed in tears of bitterness, the dappled stone remained, and still the blistered wood of door on red and rusted hinges sadly creaked a mournful song. Bewildered, dumb, I knelt, and dared not stand, nor lift my head from trembling hands. It spoke. The painted figure, crucified on cross of wood, addressed a look I'd seen, a word I'd heard. In prayer of rending urgency, I begged a way to glimpse, a goal to view. The cross revealed. Repair the church. A vision clearly seen and plain in execution. Thoughts in mad confusion tore a wary brain that vainly tried itself to calm. To build, extending hands and glassy-eyed, around I stared, beheld the fallen walls, the cracked and broken panes, the dusty floor. Repair the church, oh clear to me the road for taking. Bricks I need, and plaster, wood, hammer, nails, a mason now, a task ahead. A crumbling church to stand again, as temple glad in glory for its Lord. Amazed, the priest received the clinking gold I flung to buy the oil for gentle light to glow on altar steps. As fleet as deer, I ran to put to richer use the wealth by merchant's trade accrued.
Yet the rebuilding of the Church of San Damiano was something that must have been incredibly hard for his family to bear. Yet, as Brother Bill Short, a renowned Franciscan scholar and co-editor of the Compendium of Franciscan Sources, describes, it might also have been a means of bringing Francis and Claire into each other's lives.
It was certainly a great embarrassment. The rebuilding of a broken-down church, of course, could have been a point of family honor, but not when the one who was rebuilding it, namely the young Francis, is living as a beggar, is going through town begging the stones. Thinking of the medieval Italian family, and especially in the Commune of Assisi, the honor, the pride of the rising merchant class, for the son to give up wealth and to be traveling around town in rags, begging for stones for a construction project, this would not bring honor, but shame on the family.
And yet, that very rebuilding of San Damiano was a means of attracting people to follow Francis.
Yes, there's a very curious story that's remembered by some of the sisters of St. Clare after her death, that before she had left her family home to follow the way that Francis had followed, she was already setting aside portions of food that had been given for her use from the family table and was sending them to certain men who were working on the reconstruction of churches in the area around Assisi. And what naturally comes to mind is, who do we know who was working on churches around that time? It would be Francis and some of his early companions. So this rebuilding project may, in fact, have been one of the means that attracted the attention of Clare.
As the years went by, Francis realized that the Crucified had meant more than just rebuilding broken-down churches of bricks and mortar. He had a vocation to build up the church. This continues as an essential part of the Franciscan charism today, as Brother Bill explains.
The earliest life of Francis, the one I mentioned by Thomas of Celano, has a lovely line in it that said that Francis did not build the churches from scratch. Rather, where there was already a foundation laid, he rebuilt upon it with stones. And clearly the imagery there is that the foundation of the church is always Christ. The church is one foundation. And that Francis builds upon that foundation with the living stones, of course, of his own brothers and sisters and other Christians. His image of rebuilding the church was, of course, at first quite physical, quite concrete and material, and maybe that's what he was capable of doing, just getting some mortar and some stones and building. But over the years, it seems that he began to understand that it was much more about rebuilding these living stones, which had been damaged, which had not been put together properly, or were simply tumbling all over each other.
Building the church. It was a part of the journey and the dream of Francis, as Brother Murray Bodo, one of the best-known Franciscan writers of modern times, explains.
He was in love with Jesus Christ from the beginning of his conversion, when Christ spoke to him from the San Damiano crucifix and said, "Francis, go and repair my house, which, as you see, is falling into ruin." And he, of course, thought it was rebuild this house, which was falling down, this literal little chapel of San Damiano. But, of course, it was a much bigger message that was being given to him.
A journey and a dream. For Francis, always a troubadour, the words of the Crucified, uttered in the little church of San Damiano, were not so much an instruction as a part of a love song, a duet between the Creator and the creature, to which the little poor man of Assisi responded with every fibre of his being.